Well, amen. Y'all glad you're saved tonight? Say amen. Y'all say amen on that one, and I'll preach on this one, okay? Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 4, or chapter number 4, Hebrews chapter number 4. And let me just say while we're turning in the Scriptures, it is good to be back. This is my 11th or 12th year. I'm not really for sure, but I've had the opportunity over these years to see many of you saved right here in this altar. And to watch you grow in the knowledge and the grace of God has been a blessing. Some of you were just teenagers when I first came here, and now you're youth pastors and pastors. And I'm telling you, that is a blessing to see God working in your life. And I praise the Lord for it. We praise God for the good news about Mrs. Roscoe. And boy, we've really, really been praying for her, so we thank God for that. God's just been good, hasn't He? Amen. While we're getting ready tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Daniel Waters if he would come. And boy, the Lord's really been good to him. He's got a brand new little baby girl at home, Miss Kyla Grace Waters. God has just been a blessing. Amen. But Brother Daniel's going to help me just for a minute tonight. And I'm telling you, it's a blessing not to be as sick as I usually am when I come to Youth Ablaze. Every year, I am so deathly sick, I can barely talk. And I'm still having a little bit of trouble, but not bad. And I thank the Lord sent some cold weather down to Georgia just to prime me up for the meeting. Amen? And but thank God we're not in D.C. They said it was so cold up there that the Democrats had their hands in their own pockets. Amen? Amen. That's cold, brother. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter number 4. And I'm going to read verse number 16. That is our theme verse for the week. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 16. The Bible said, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let's read that again together. I want you to get that tonight. He said, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I don't know about you, but I find myself in great times of need. There's times when I cry out with the psalmist, "Help, Lord." I mean, we don't know anywhere else to turn. Am I messing something up here? Okay, brother, help yourself. There's times I find myself when I really need help, and I know that it's going to come from nowhere but Jesus Christ. Amen? And I'm glad the Bible said that I can come boldly unto the throne of grace. You see, I needed God's grace for salvation. But just tonight, before I came to the pulpit, I bowed in the chair where I was sitting, and I asked God for His grace for the message tonight. I didn't just need His grace for heaven, but I need God's grace for life. Amen? Amen. Tonight, just for a few minutes, and I'm going to be brief tonight and give way to the big-time famous preacher, Brother Jenkins. Amen? He's my friend, and it's an honor to be here with them. Amen? I wanted to sit between them a while ago so I could feel like Jesus. Amen? Sitting between two thieves. Amen? Yeah. Tonight, I love you guys. God knows that, and you know that. Tonight, just for a few minutes, for those of us who are saved, and we know God's grace, I would like to just kick the bucket over on the first night of the meeting, just lay down spiritually in our soul, and just wallow in the grace that God has bestowed on us. Can I say it again? We ought to just wallow a little bit in the grace that God has bestowed on us. I'm amazed in Baptist churches as I travel around the country, and I turn around always and look at the faces of the people when we sing the hymn, "Amazing Grace," in church. Brother Jenkins, have you ever noticed it? I'm talking about people who are blood washed, on their way to heaven, their sins are forgiven, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it's "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." Bro, that thing ought to do something to us. That thing ought to do something to us when we think about it. I think sometimes we take the grace of God for granted. We forget just exactly what it was that God had done for us. I'll never forget. I got saved on a Friday night at a New Year's Eve party. I'd been to church all my life. I'd heard about Jesus. I'd sang about Jesus. I knew the Romans Road. Believe it or not, I had led somebody to the Lord. I made a profession of faith as a six-year-old boy. Went through the baptistry and joined the church. I knew about God's grace, but I didn't know God's grace. Oh, but thanks be unto God, on that Friday night in that New Year's Eve party, I became a recipient of the grace of Almighty God. And brother and sister, I'm here to tell you that Sunday morning, I walked into church. They said, grab the church hymnal, turn to page number 57, and they begin to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And inside my soul, brother, there was just something begin to bubble. Hey man, you know what? I had never experienced the grace of God. I knew about it. I knew about it, but I had never felt it. So tonight, I want us to remember when we got in under the spout where the blood comes out. And let's rejoice in the fact that we are recipients of God's grace. And if you're here tonight and you've never experienced God's grace, our prayer for you is that you would do that before this service is over tonight. There is no excuse to leave out of this room tonight on your way to a devil's hell. Not when Christ went to Calvary, shed His blood for wicked old sinners like you and me. Amen. Tonight, for a few minutes, we're going to look at our national anthem. The old hymn, Amazing Grace. In the 1800s, I'm going to keep this part of this short because you may hear more about this later, but in the 1800s, there was an English sailor by the name of John. John grew up just a wild heathen and a hellion. He got involved in every kind of sin a young man could get involved in. He heard about the lucrative business of the slave trade. And he winds up eventually being the captain of a slave ship called the Greyhound. And one night while on the sea, the Greyhound entered a great storm. And oh, it was so bad, the men worked and worked for hours trying to save the ship. And it was laden down with human cargo that was going to be sold when they got back to the land. And they said there that John fell on his face on the bow of that ocean-washed deck and said, "Oh God, have mercy on us." And there John became to know the grace of God. He later became a great hymn writer and a great preacher and preached the gospel for some 50 years. His name was John Newton. And he wrote the words to Amazing Grace. Amen? Oh boy. You know what? You know why that was so amazing to him? Because he realized what a great sinner he was. Tonight we're going to look at John Newton, I believe, only wrote three of these verses. The rest were added later. Or he added, wrote four and the rest were added later. But in this book right here, y'all have the NIV version. That ain't right. Amen? But verse number one of Amazing Grace says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Now listen, I want to do something a little different tonight. We sing this in our churches all the time, and it just becomes vain repetition. But tonight, I want you to hear it. I don't want you lip syncing it. I don't want you to sing it. I want you to listen as Brother Daniel sings for us the first verse of Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For a few minutes tonight, I want to show you some things from each verse of this song. In that first verse that Brother Daniel just sang, we see that amazing grace redeems us from sin. Amazing grace redeems us from sin. John said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That little book over there changes it to poor sinner. But I'll just be honest with you, friend. I realized I was more than just a poor sinner. I was a filthy, rotten wretch on my way to hell, scarred by the dregs of sin. Oh, but thanks be unto God, that amazing grace saved a wretch like me. And that amazing grace saved a wretch like you if you're born again tonight. And we ought to bless His holy name for that amazing grace. You see, as John Newton fell on the deck of that ship and he cried out, "Oh God, have mercy on me," he realized that he was nothing but a poor, rotten sinner. He realized the filth of his sin. He realized that he wasn't a good person. He realized there was nothing he could do to merit God's mercy and God's grace. That's why he didn't say, Brother Sherry, "Oh God, give us what we deserve." He said, "God, have mercy on us." You know what mercy is? That's when you get that which you do not deserve. John said, "God, have mercy on us. God, have mercy on an old wretch like me." Aren't you glad whenever it was, the day, the hour, the night, whether it been at church or at home, that God had mercy on an old wretch like you? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You know what he said that amazing grace was? He said it was a sweet sound. It was a sweet sound. I remember the night, I've told my testimony here, I don't know, probably hundreds of times, but I remember the night I was playing bluegrass music at a New Year's Eve party. We were drinking and carrying on, and I was sitting there. We sung an old song, "My Little Cabin Home on the Hill." And in that song, it says, "Just listen to the rain falling on the window pane of my little cabin home on the hill." And I began to think about, Brother Tony, how I was raised and how my mama took me to church and taught me about Jesus. I thought about all the great messages I'd heard from Billy Kelly and Mays Jackson and Ed Ballou and just some of the greatest men of God. I'd heard the gospel over and over and over and over. Oh, but it never got sweet to me before. Amen. It never struck home down in my heart. And for the first time in my life, I realized I was a sinner on my way to hell. I pray tonight that'll be the time for you tonight, that for the first time in your life, it'll get real that if you die without Christ, hell will be your home. I couldn't help but feel inside my soul that I was too bad for Jesus. I couldn't help but feel that I'd rejected Him so many times that it was too late. I knew what to do to be saved. I'd heard it all my life, but there was something inside my heart drew me to the preacher's house. I woke him up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. He got outside. He took me beside an old loblolly pine tree, and we knelt down right there, and I heard the sweetest voice that I'd ever heard in my life. I said, "Oh, God, I'm a sinner." "Not no more you ain't," he said. "We ain't going to call you sinner from here on out. We're going to call you saint." Hallelujah. That was the sweetest thing I'd ever known in my life. You hadn't ever known nothing sweeter than the grace of God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You say, "Preacher, I'm a good kid." You may be a good kid, but you're a sinner. Yeah, but my daddy's the pastor of our church. He may be, but you're a sinner. You see, my name was on the church roll, but I was a sinner. I've been through the baptistry, but I was a sinner. I got a little New Testament that the preacher signed when they baptized me, but I was a sinner. My mother worked the same bus route for 25 years. I visited this bus route every Saturday of my life growing up, but I was a sinner. I went to youth camp, but I was a sinner. I went on team soul winning, but I was a sinner. I was doing everything that a Christian ought to do, but I was not a Christian. I was going through the motions. I'm not a recapper. I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. But if you ain't saved, I want you to get in there tonight.
Yeah.
It's possible to know so much about the grace of God that you think you know the grace of God. And that's where I was. I had literally taken a King James Bible and stood on street corners and helped lead teenagers to Christ. Had no prayer life. Had no unction of the Holy One moving inside me. Had no power with God. I didn't know God. I thought I could party on the weekends with my friends and then still go and do the things with the youth group. And it didn't even bother me. Didn't bother me. You know why it didn't bother me? I didn't know the grace of God. I knew about the grace of God, but I didn't know the grace of God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You see, the Bible still says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible still says, there is none righteous, no, not one. You can't tell me in a crowd like this that somebody didn't wander in here tonight not knowing Christ as their Savior. You can't tell me that in a crowd like this, Brother Tony, that somebody didn't come in living under a false profession of faith. I'm glad I got that thing settled that night. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You see, my problem was, Brother Tony, I didn't realize I was lost. I was lost, but I didn't know it. I was lost as a golf ball in high weeds, but I didn't realize I was lost till he found me. Amen. I didn't realize I was lost. Somebody better get that tonight. I didn't realize I was lost till he found me. I was minding my own business. Playing a little bluegrass music. Wasn't hurting nobody. Enjoying a little New Year's Eve get-together. Wasn't doing no harm. But somebody came who wasn't invited that night. Somebody, you ever heard that thing where people say they crashed the party? The Holy Ghost crashed our party that New Year's Eve. Can you imagine I'm sitting there with all my redneck friends, tough. I mean, these guys are bad news, man. And all of a sudden, I start weeping.
Yeah.
I'm talking about crying, brother. My little wife looked over at me and she said, what is the matter with you? I stood up and dropped that Martin guitar on the floor. I said, I'm on my way to hell. That's what's wrong with me. Can you imagine that at a New Year's Eve party? The Holy Spirit came by and began to stick His finger down in my heart. And He said, you're going to bust hell wide open. And I could hear those old preachers from way back telling me if I didn't get saved, I was going to burn. Telling me if I didn't trust Christ, I was going to burn. And the Holy Spirit crashed my party that night. Hey, by the way, I've invited Him to everyone since then.
Hey.
Amen. He's on the top of the invitation list now. Hallelujah. Hey, I was lost, but thank God now I am found. There's an old song that says, when I could not come to where He was, He came to me. He came to me. I didn't have to go through reform school. I didn't have to go through a 12-step program. I didn't have to go through a discipleship program. I was sitting right there playing bluegrass with liquor on my breath. And He came right where I was. And He saved me right where I was. And He saved me just like I was. Hallelujah. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The old song writer said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Can't you imagine that's about how old John Newton felt that night as he thought his ship was going down and he cried out, oh God, have mercy. And God did just that. Hallelujah. Verse number 2, Brother Daniel. Listen carefully now.
What grace that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears.
Hallelujah.
Really
nigh. 'Twas grace that thought, that taught my heart to fear. To fear what? To fear the judgment of God. But then he says, and grace my fears relieved. I said, number one, that the amazing grace of God redeems us from sin. But number two, the grace of God relieves us of our fears. You see, that night when I went to the preacher's house, and by the way, just let me throw this in, the man who led me to Christ, several years later, he'd gotten out of church. He stayed out of church for a long time. He got real bad, done real bad as a pastor and got really hurt. After I began to pastor, I got to be his pastor. And I was his pastor for several years. And just here a few months ago, I got to preach the man who led me to Christ's funeral. Amen. Two Sunday mornings ago, the man who led me to Christ, his son got up off the front row, came to the altar, and he looked his finger like that and motioned to me, and I got to lead his son to the Lord. Woo! Ain't that a blessing, boy? I said his grace is amazing because it relieves us of our fears. I'll be honest with you, the scaredest I've ever been in all my life is when I fell under conviction for my sin. The scaredest I've ever been. I didn't come skipping down the aisle of some church like I was going to join a club. I got saved that night not because I wanted to go to heaven when I die. That was an afterthought. I got saved that night because I did not want to pay the penalty for my sin. I didn't want to spend forever and ever in a place called hell. My wife said she thought I was shaking so bad that I was going to convulse. I was so afraid. I believe with all my heart that was my last opportunity, Brother Mike. Literally. We were supposed to leave that party, go to a country club at midnight and play on their stage. But I got sidetracked by the Holy Spirit of God. And one of my best friends was stabbed and nearly killed there that night. I know me. I would have been in that fight. But as the Holy Ghost of God convicted my heart, I became so fearful of a place called hell. Preachers don't preach on it much anymore. We spend all our times with young people preaching against sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And I'm for that. No, I'm against that. We'll get this out right here in a minute. But sometimes I think we need to just rear back and preach on the realization of a place called hell. I'm talking about where the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell and said, I'm in torment in this flame. There's a bunch of liberals in America that'll teach you there ain't no fire in hell. They'll tell you that it's just a place of outer darkness. It's just a place away from God. True on both accounts. But it's a place that has a lake that burns with fire. And if you die without Christ, that's where you'll spend eternity. John the Revelator said, and they whose names were not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We preached one morning in our junior church and the preacher preached on hell. Parent called and complained and said, you scared my child. I said, good. Hell ought to scare us. It's not something that we laugh at out of Hollywood. It's real tonight. It's not a fairy tale. Hell is a real place and people who die without God spend forever and ever and ever and ever there. Fear. He said, if some have compassion, but then he said, but others save with fear. You run around with them stickers on your back window, no fear. You wait till you meet Satan face to face. You wait till you smell the charred walls of the damned. You wait till you feel the fires of hell flicking at your feet. Yes, you will be afraid. T'was grace that taught my heart to fear. But then it was that same grace That was my schoolmaster. It was that same grace that taught my heart to fear. That same grace, my fear relieved. That very same grace that brought me to my knees trembling as a sinner. That very same grace brought me up shouting the victory of God, washed in the blood and on my way to heaven when I die. Mm-hmm. The Bible said in 1 John chapter number 4, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. The Bible said, but God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is a scary old world you're growing up in, kids. I don't know what your future holds. I pray it's the rapture. Somebody said, is the economy getting better? Not where I live. Last thing on this earth I'd want to be today is a teenager. But I'm telling you, there's grace for all your fear. You don't have to worry what's going to become of government. You don't have to worry what's going to become of our rights. As long as we know the grace of God, we're free. We're free. Are you listening to me? 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace, my fear relieved. How many of you remember the moment you got saved? Let me see your hands. I mean, you can close your eyes and you're there. Brother Barry calls it going back to the sweet spot. Going back to the sweet spot. That is a sweet spot. Do you remember that? Do you remember the peace of God that flooded your soul? I've heard a thousand times over, they said, preacher, it felt like somebody crunked a Mack truck and drove it off my chest. Crunk. That means they started it. Amen. You know what that was? That was all that sin that was gone. That was all that sin that was gone. That was all that guilt that was gone. That was all that shame that was gone. Hallelujah. And for the first time in your life, you were really free. Why don't you enjoy that tonight? Yeah. Amen. It relieves all our fear. We don't have to fear nothing tonight, young people. The Bible said the righteous are as bold as a lion. Amen. I can think of a certain crowd that needs to go back in the closet. And the Christians ought to be the ones coming out. Amen. Amen. Straight pride. Amen.
Amen.
You all right? I'm scared of that crowd. Amen. I'm serving God tonight. Third verse, Brother Daniel. Through many days. Listen.
Through me.
Well, think about
it. Dangers, tolls, and snares.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Brother John, when I look back at the grace of God I've experienced in my life, I see just what all God has already done for me. Let me tell you what He's done, young people. He's proven Himself time and time and time and time again. Through many dangers, toils, and snares. You see, the Lord said, in this life ye shall have tribulation. There's a crowd preaching on TV that if you'll send them $25, you won't have no more problem. I want to write them back and say, why don't you try that on me? Send me $25, maybe you won't have no more problems. Amen. Evidently, you having problems, you need my $25. That's just not true. We're going through dangers, toils, and snares. You hear what I said? We're going through dangers, toils, and snares. It is not going to get easier to serve God here on out. It may get tougher to serve God here on out. Amen. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Oh, I wish I had time to tell you tonight how many times that the grace of God has been so real in my life. Brother John and I, we both experienced the same situation. His son had a horrible accident on an ATV, a four-wheeler. My son had a horrible accident in a car. I watched him load his lifeless body into a helicopter and fly into a head trauma unit. The darkest days of my life. Can I tell you God was real through that? Can I tell you that in a Ronald McDonald House, while I lay next door in the hospital, my son was laying in a bed in a coma, and the doctor said he may never wake up. If he wakes up, he could be a vegetable. Can I tell you that the grace of God crawled into bed with me in the middle of the night, put its arms around me, and comforted me like only God could? Woo! I don't see how a lost man lives this life without Him. I don't see how they go through the hospital rooms and the funeral homes. I don't see how they go through all the terrible things they go through without God. How do they go through the doctors coming in and saying, your wife has a cancer, she has to have radiation and chemo? How do they go through those things without God? Here's what the Lord said. Here's what the Lord said. This is how John could sing, 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far. The Lord said, I will be with him in trouble. I will be with him in trouble. As we stood by the side of the road and looked at my son's body, the Lord was with me. As we went through in the early years, trouble and hard times in our marriage, the Lord was with us. As we went through financial difficulty after financial difficulty, the Lord has been with us. This recession has affected my church greatly. And somehow the bills are being paid. I don't understand it. I know I learned in school that 2 plus 2 is 4. But God adds it up and 2 plus 2 is 8. It was grace that brought me safe thus far. What's grace? I stand here before you tonight by the grace of God. The preacher said a while ago, he said, old Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. What's grace that brought me safe thus far? By the way, whether you realize it or not, it's been grace that's brought you safe thus far. Did you know I didn't realize it, Brother John? And I've had people look sideways at me for this, but I experienced the grace of God before I was ever even saved. Oh yeah, I just didn't realize it. I remember sneaking in a catfish pond. It's more fun to catch them when you ain't supposed to be there. I remember sneaking in the catfish pond and hearing bullets fly by my head. When you hear pew, pow, you're on the wrong end. Little did I know that standing somewhere in the shadows, there was a thrice holy God causing those bullets to go around that future preacher boy that was breaking the law and stealing the old man's catfish. Little did I know that I was experiencing the grace of God. Little did I know as I laid on the hood of my mother's car after being slung through the windshield in a car wreck, didn't have a single stitch. Grace of God. You could nearly fill this room with the cars I wrecked as a teenage boy. The four-wheel drive trucks that I flipped over and destroyed. Should have been dead. Time and time again. But I was experiencing God's grace. Can you imagine how many times you came within feet of death today? You know how easy it would be for some car to lose it on the ice, come over into your lane, destroy your church van and every teenager in it. Brother, it's grace that's brought us safe thus far. And I got news for you. It'll be grace that'll lead us all. Hey, man, tonight somebody, can I get a witness? It'll be grace. Hey, if grace brought me here, grace will take me there. Hallelujah. You know what I've learned over these 20-some-odd years of being saved? 26. You know what I've learned? You know what I've learned? I've learned to trust Him. I've learned that His grace is sufficient. I've learned when the money ain't there, His grace is sufficient. I've learned that when I'm fighting the battles and the struggles of life, hey, young people, His grace is sufficient.
Amen.
It's enough. I've learned He meant what He said when He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've learned He meant exactly what He said. Preacher, what are we going to do about the future? We're going to do what we did in the past, and we're just going to trust God. Remember those preachers during the Y2K wrote all them books? What to do? We'll sue them tonight. We could probably pay our properties off, brother. They ought to be sued. If I'd have wrote a book, it had one sentence. Trust God. Reference, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Amen. Trusting God has never failed me. Not one single time. And trusting God and His marvelous grace will never fail you. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. Or through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. Now listen to this fourth verse.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
That amazing grace redeems us from sin. That amazing grace relieves our fears. I meant to mention this one also, but in that same verse, that amazing grace reassures us through the dangers in our lives. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then lastly tonight, that amazing grace rewards us eternally. It rewards us eternally. He said, when we've been there 10,000 years. Some of you think 16 is never going to come. Can you imagine 10,000 years? When we've been there 10,000 years. Bright, shining as the sun. We've no less day to sing His praise than when we first begun. I'm talking about heaven, friend. I'm talking about heaven. Hey, that's the alternative to hell. Ain't no in between. Come on. It's heaven or hell, friend. It's black or white. There ain't no gray. Ain't no soul sleep. It's heaven or hell. Just count me in with that crowd going to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to be rewarded eternally. What keeps us pressing on? Heaven. With every funeral I preach, it gets a little bit sweeter. It becomes a little bit more real. Brother John had 4 young men in his church killed in an accident this year. I bet there's a mother who's anticipating heaven a little bit more. This dear lady buried a daughter. Amen. We've got family there. Heaven sounding better all the time. I know when I was a teenager and would hear the preacher preach, I would think in my heart, well, I want to go to heaven when I die, but I don't want to go now. I used to say the same thing. But I'll be honest with you. Heaven will be better than anything this life's got to offer. But I want to see what my future is. Oh, if you could see your future in heaven. It rewards us eternally. When we've been there 10,000 years, we can't even wrap our minds around that. Do you understand this earth is not even 10,000 years old? Regardless of what they say on the History Channel and Discovery Channel. I watched them cutting some kind of digging up petrified trees out of the ground to make wood for instruments with. And it's talking about how many millions of years that tree was. I said, you're an idiot, man. 10,000 years, I can't even imagine it. I mean, 10,000, that's a small number for some people. That's huge for me, man, especially when you're talking about years. He said, but after we've been there 10,000 years, he said, man, we're going to have no less time than when we first begun. In other words, after we've been shouting up and down the streets of gold and praising the Lord and bowing at His feet and crying, holy, 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 when 10,000's up, we're just going to do her 10,000 more. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. He is going to reward us eternally. Paul said, laid up for me. What was it, a crown? Righteousness? He said, and for all those. Loves His appearing. Our reward's in heaven. You might say, well, you never did have much in this life. Wait till you see me in the next one. Huh? I don't know if I'd want to be a preacher. Always poor mouthing. Wait till you see us in the next one. Wait till you see us in the next one. Let's stand there. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. If Brother Daniel could lead us through that, Brother Roscoe, could we sing Amazing Grace? If you need to come to the altar, that's all right, you come. If you need to be saved, you just bow on this altar and put your hand up over your head. I'll have somebody meet you right here tonight and help you. Go ahead, Brother Daniel. Let's rear back. I mean, let's sing it tonight, church.
Let's sing that last one a cappella, Brother Daniel, when we've been there.